from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
This, another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive live on 96.5 The Fan. Very happy to be here. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right today is Rob Brenton. We are very excited for the start of something new. It's the same show that you have come to know and love. We have just put it in a completely different package. The analogy that I would like to give you is, think of it like Sierra Mist. I love Sierra Mist. It was great. One day they just started calling it Starry. That's what we are today. This is the Starry version of The Drive. We are very excited to be here. It is appropriate that the first topic that we have on this new but old show is the downtown stadium. The Royals have a day off, but we are not taking a day off from what we usually do. Again, my name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Brenton is here with us. Our guy Quentin is back in the studio. Speaking of back in the studio, let's give away a pizza.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7965. New number, same pizza giveaway from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over Kansas City. They got locations all across the town. They got Waldo, Belton, North KC, Overland Park, and Midtown. They have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So Carrington, whether you're hungry and want a whole pie or slices will be more your move, be sure to visit them now at PizzaTasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell one person. I don't need you to tell two people that if you want some of the best pizza and you want to be a part of Kansas City's first FM sports talk station, the only place you can do that is right here with us on 96.5 The Fan. Let's talk about the tweet yesterday from Sam McDowell. We will talk some Chiefs. Training camp is over for them. We will talk about the Royals, who have the day off today, but that gives us the time to talk about what still continues to be the number one story in sports in Kansas City, is what is the future of the Kansas City Royals, what is the future of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Truman Sports Complex. So Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star, who has been absolutely all over this thing from the beginning, he tweeted this out yesterday. The Royals have explored multiple downtown stadium sites with recent talks with the city studying the viability of Washington Square Park, north of Crown Center. Multiple sources tell me wherever it is, Mayor Lucas prefers to avoid another vote. Now, I got a chance to catch up with the mayor of Kansas City yesterday. I'll play the best of that conversation for you here coming up in a bit. But let me give you a couple of thoughts. Let's start with this. Before we started talking about downtown stadiums, we have learned that there are different parts of the city and neighborhoods that I had no clue existed before. Rob, you and I have both lived in Kansas City our entire time. I had never heard of East Village until we started talking about a downtown stadium. You have never told someone, hey, you know where I'm going today? I'm going to hang out down at the East Village. Maybe the Crossroads, maybe Brookside, maybe Waldo. At no point in my life have I ever said East Village. Where in the world is Washington Square Park? Now, I had to do a Google. I now know where Washington Square Park is. But if you would ask me yesterday, can you meet me down at Washington Square Park. I would have had to Google it. I would have had to look it up. I don't know if I've ever been to Washington Square Park. Well, that could be the home of the Kansas City Royals. This story tells me a couple of different things. It tells me that the Royals have never wavered from their desire of a downtown stadium at any point. Now, I understand that Kansas is ready to throw a lot of money at the Royals. They're ready to throw some star bonds and some star crunch and all what kind of stars? Mario stars. The Royals have never wavered from what they really want. If you spend $1 billion on something the way that John Sherman and friends did on the Kansas City Royals, you know what I'm not letting do? I'm not letting less than 100,000 people who voted for against the tax back in April. I am not letting them tell me where I am putting the stadium. You know what I would do if I'm worth $1 billion and I own a team? I'm figuring out a different way to get what I want. I will never forget this. The first real press conference for John Sherman after COVID, he came out and said, "We love Kauffman Stadium. I took my wife to Kauffman Stadium for our first date. We can do more. We want a new stadium. We want it to be in downtown Kansas City." And almost every piece of information that has come out from the Royals, every conversation from the Royals has never wavered from that point. I'm not talking about what Kansas or Governor Kelly has talked about. I'm talking about from the Royals. Every piece of information we have gotten would lead you to believe that their next stadium is going to be in downtown Kansas City. Now, I think the part about Mayor Lucas preferring to avoid another vote is interesting. Are the Royals confident that a tax would pass in Kansas City? Obviously, the first one did not pass, but there are multiple ways that you can fund a stadium. That was just one way to fund a stadium, a sales tax. If you buy a bag of chips, a portion of that money goes to us. If you buy a car, if you buy whatever you buy in Jackson County, we get a percentage of that money. That's not how Sprint Center gets funded. No, Sprint Center gets funded if you stay at a hotel or if you rent a car. So there are other forms of a tax that can go into how you would help pay for a stadium. And it is important to note that the Royals do not need our permission to build a downtown stadium. Now, they need permission to use our money to build a downtown stadium. They do not need our permission on building a downtown stadium. And again, I do not believe the Royals at any point have ever wavered from their desire to have a downtown stadium. I also took, as I read this story, and I'll read you guys clips and excerpts of this story here in a bit. Frank White's name is nowhere on this. We tried the Frank White thing. It did not work. Have you ever tried to pass something off to a coworker or tried to pass something off to a family member, and then at some point you've seen how they completely mess things up? You asked your wife to take care of something. "Babe, hey, I need you to run and do this for me." And then you saw the job you were doing, and you snatched it from her and said, "You know what, babe? I got it. I'm going to handle this the rest of the day. You know, why don't you just go watch Real Housewives of the Potomac or whatever it is that you do, and I'm going to handle it the rest of the way." What you are seeing is the mayor of Kansas City and the power brokers in Kansas City are cutting off the people in Jackson County. We allowed you guys to be part of the process the first time, and you guys are the reason that this failed. If there is anything that has been consistent this entire time about this conversation, it has been the blaming on Frank White from all sides. The Royals feel this way. The Chiefs feel this way. The city feel this way. I'm sorry. If everybody thinks you a thief, you a thief. I don't know what else to say in that regard. Everybody has the same opinion about you. Maybe that opinion is the true opinion of your character. Every single person who has been attached to or associated to this process at every single time has told you Frank White is a problem. We cannot move forward with him. He will not negotiate and operate in good faith as we try to get this thing done. So the Royals, I think, continue to drop information about what they really want to do. From Sam McDowell, the Royals have explored multiple downtown stadium sites with recent talks with the city studying the viability of Washington Square Park north of Crown Center. Multiple sources tell the Star and Sam McDowell, whatever the plan is, Mayor Lucas prefers to avoid another vote. So coming up in a bit, I will play for you cuts from my conversation with Mayor Quentin Lucas, where I asked him specifically about this tweet, I asked him his thoughts, his reaction, his response to it, the likeliness that the stadiums would remain in Kansas City, Missouri. I also think it's important to note, at least according to Mayor Quinn Lucas, the conversations that the Royals are having and the Chiefs are having are two completely different conversations. The Royals, I believe, want to stay in Kansas City, Missouri, and want a downtown stadium. The Chiefs is looking for a best deal, man. The Chiefs are just looking for the best deal. They don't care if that deal comes from Missouri. They don't care if that deal comes from Kansas. You know who the Chiefs are? The Chiefs are a 31-year-old free agent in the NFL. They're DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins would have went to go play for any team in the league as long as they were willing to pay. He'd have played for New England. He'd have played for the Chiefs. It did not matter. Hey, who paying? And I think that's what you have seen from the Kansas City Chiefs in this whole process. I think the Royals are showing a sense of togetherness and willing to work with the city to try to make their goals come true. I think the Chiefs are trying to make their goals come true, too. I think they're trying to play as little for the stadium as possible and maximize their own revenues. So coming up on the other side, I will play for you my part of my conversation with the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quinn Lucas. We appreciate you if you were chiming in. We have moved over to 96.5 The Fan. We are discussing the tweet from Sam McDowell. The Royals have explored multiple downtown stadium sites with recent talks with the city studying the viability of Washington Square Park north of Crown Center. Multiple sources tell the Star. I read this tweet word for word to the mayor of Kansas City. I will play for you what he had to say. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome back into the show. My name is Karrenton Harrison. Very happy to be here. You are listening in on 96.5 The Fan. I was texting with a friend earlier today, and they were, you know, congratulating us with the move to FM and what should you do. And I said, I'm just going to keep doing the show I've been doing. And my friend said, you should play some My Chemical Romance to keep the 96.5 buzz listener happy. And that reminds me of a story, and we'll get back to the Royals here in a bit. But the story is, I was at a Vegas, let's just say it was an establishment. Let's just go ahead and say it like that. It was a Vegas establishment. And the young lady went up there, and the young lady that was dancing, she kind of looked like Pete Wentz. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just not the kind of young lady that I'm into at this kind of establishment. And my sister was sitting right there next to me. And I looked at her, and I said, I'm not interested in any girl in this kind of establishment that looks like she listens to My Chemical Romance. And my sister looked at me and said, that's the kind of young ladies I'm here for. I realized that at that point, me and my sister were not the same. I always thought that we were one of kindred spirits. And I learned right then in that moment, you know what, maybe we don't have as much in common as I thought that we did. Let's get back to very serious Royals things, because you do not care about my stance on My Chemical Romance. So Sam McDowell of the Kansas City Star, who is a brilliant columnist, by the way, he wrote a story, and the story basically says that the Royals have been looking at new downtown stadium sites. If you were keeping track, this is the third different downtown stadium site that the Royals have looked into. They looked into East Village. They have looked into the Crossroads. They have looked into North Kansas City. They have looked into Cherry Hill. They've looked in everywhere. If it is in the proper of Kansas City, Missouri, the Royals have studied it to see if it is a viable place to put a downtown stadium. They are now narrowing in on Washington Square Park, which is north of Crown Center. So I specifically read this tweet. I read this part to the mayor of Kansas City, Mayor Quinn Lucas. Here's what he had to say.
Countywide sales tax or Johnson Countywide sales tax instead of sports riders and that sort of thing. I wouldn't frame it as avoid a vote. I think there is a way that you can get a project and a deal done without relying on a countywide sales tax. You know, I heard loud and clear from a lot of people in April in Jackson County who said, wait, why should we all be paying 3/8 cents for something that we may not be going to? I saw loud and clear in the Kansas legislative conversation where what was not contemplated was a Wyandotte Countywide sales tax or Johnson Countywide sales tax instead. They were looking at the revenues that are generated at the stadium and in the project, funding the project itself. I think Kansas City has some exciting and dynamic tools that will allow us to build out such a thing. And so as our conversations continue, and I told you on this show, I know y'all got doomsday people, even some doomsday people who are doing the morning drive on your station who say, oh my God, everything's done. You know, my view is that we're actually in a good place to look at how we can generate revenues, how we actually can build a good project and one that works for the people of Kansas City, the Royals, and this entire region.
All right, a couple of things. That was funny. Yo, why did he have to just shoot at Bob Fesco like that? That was unnecessary. He didn't have to randomly pull up, fire a couple shots, and then drive off on Bob Fesco. That was unmayoral. We didn't need that from the mayor of Kansas City. That was uncalled for from the mayor of Kansas City. This was my question the entire time that we were having this conversation back in the spring. You guys know that you're going to pay for some of this, right? They proposed one way to help pay for the stadium, and the city pretty resoundingly said, no, try again. Now, I think they said try again to the plan just felt very half-baked. It felt very rushed. It felt very thrown together with what they were doing. But at some point, they are going to ask us to help pay for the stadium. And if you are one of those people who are passionate about keeping this thing in Kansas City, Missouri, just know that part of your tax dollars is going to be allocated to pay for this. This time, it doesn't even sound like they want you to even have a vote in it. They gave you a chance to vote the last time, and you said, no, we don't want it. It sounds like I trust the Stars reporting here, and it makes sense. Because if this thing goes to another vote, the worst thing that can happen for Kansas City is this thing fails for a second time. And I think the city wants to completely avoid that and not even put it in the hands of the voters and not even allow it to get to a point where it could be voted again and then potentially fail. I mean, the only time that you could even have or consider a vote like this would be in November, right? There's a lot of things to go vote for. Sports gambling is on there. You can vote for who the president is going to be. There's a lot of things to vote for. If you were going to try to get this thing on the vote, it needs to be on there by November 5th. It doesn't sound like they are preparing for this thing to be on anybody's ballot on November 5th. At some point, and I saw that the governor of the state of Missouri said this as well, man, the Royals just got to pick a spot and stick with it. They have thrown out a bunch of different, well, it could go here, it could go here, it could go here, it could go here. They don't sound very confident in whatever plan they are selling. And I think the city felt that the first time and resoundingly came out and said, we're not saying no to you guys. We are saying no to the plan that you guys have thrown out there. And we will see this time if they are coming together with a much better plan to sell the people of Jackson County and also the people of Kansas City, Missouri. I want to play another cut for you guys. It's related to that same topic. I asked him, well, if the money is not going to come from the 3/8 of a cent sales tax, where do you think it's coming from?
There will be another way for this to get funded. I think the way that it gets funded is something that's going to be based more on how do you actually build a stadium on revenues from people who are using the stadium, rather than something that looks as broad-based, as county-wide, as jurisdiction-wide as perhaps we've used before. I think when you look at the stadium deals that are happening all around the country in very few places, I think Oklahoma City was one example, but very few places have a jurisdiction-wide just 1 cent, 3/8 cent sales tax. And so while that conversation may proceed at Jackson County, and I appreciate it doing so, I told you before the vote back in April and after the vote, Kansas City has the most robust tools of any local government jurisdiction in this two-state region, and I would say in probably several states around us. We will play in this conversation about what we do with the future of baseball and football, but certainly as to baseball, where they're looking to play in a new venue, that venue doesn't have to be owned necessarily by the county, that venue doesn't have to be owned necessarily by almost any institution. The city is ready, willing, and able to build some good tools. That's part of our conversations ongoing. I think we'll be very fair to the taxpayers. We'll have a very good conversation. So this isn't to avoid them. This is just to say, you know what, Quentin and CDOT have been talking about this for a long time. It's time for us to come to some solutions and, you know, get something on the table that I think can work for everybody.
I think we are all on the same page about coming to a solution to this problem and trying to figure out what the future looks like. I know some of you would love for them to stay at Kauffman Stadium. I love Kauffman Stadium. They have made it clear at almost every single turn that that is not an option, that they are moving at some point. And we are simply trying to figure out the where. How I interpret those comments from Mayor Quentin Lucas, the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri, is we have more people than all of these other surrounding areas. We have a larger tax base than all of these other areas. If we need to figure out the money, we'll figure out the money. But we are not in a position where we can lose these teams. Now, the Chiefs don't seem to be hearing that message the same way that the Royals are hearing this message, because I think the Chiefs and the Royals have very, very different goals. I think John Sherman from the beginning has told you what his vision is. I don't think we know what Clark Hunt's vision is. I don't think we know. Is it staying at Arrowhead? Is it getting the best possible deal? Is it building a infrastructure around Arrowhead Stadium with shops and hotels? I don't think we know what the vision of the Chiefs is. We 100% know what the vision of the Royals is. It is to have a downtown stadium with their own entertainment district around it that they are receiving revenue from and making it a 24/7, 365 destination. I don't know if that's what the vision for the Chiefs is or what their vision is, to be quite frankly, about this topic. They have been very more low-key and secretive about this, where the Royals, because they have been the more front-facing organization when it comes to this, I think the Royals just more than certainly more times than the Chiefs have simply communicated what they want to the public. They have not been able to execute what they want to the public, but they certainly have communicated what that is. Last thing here I'll play for you guys from the mayor of Kansas City, and we'll get back to real football things here coming up in a bit. I asked the mayor, I guess a two-part question. Give me your percentage chance that the Chiefs are in, or excuse me, that the Royals are in Kansas City in 2031. Give me the percentage chance that you think that the Royals are in downtown Kansas City in 2031. Here's what the mayor said.
My view is that, I think it's 90% likely the Kansas City Royals will be playing in Kansas City, Missouri in 2031. It is 85% likely they will be playing in downtown Kansas City. I have never lost confidence on that fact. The Royals have said repeatedly they want to be downtown. I know they want to make sure they have a good deal. They want to make sure they have good negotiations, and I think that's what Kansas City offers. We are the biggest, the baddest, the boldest local government in the region. I think we'll be able to get it done. I do believe we'll have cooperation from the future governor of Missouri, whether it's Mike Kehoe, the Republican, or Crystal Quay, the Democrat. Both have said that they're committed to keeping the teams here. And on timing, I would expect, and I've said this to others, I think it is weeks rather than months. I think you're looking at a mid-November type of announcement or opportunity rather than something that we're still talking about a year from now on these same types of interviews.
So that was the mayor of Kansas City. He obviously sounds very, very confident in Kansas City's ability to retain the Royals. Also sounded very confident that they are going to be in downtown Kansas City. Rob is here with me. Rob, you have been very optimistic about Kansas's ability to take one of these teams. It doesn't sound like they are taking the Royals. It sounds like Kansas City is going to put up a fight to try to at least keep the Royals. I will tell you, I am losing a little bit of confidence that they are going to be able to keep both of these teams. If you're asking me today, now, I still think, now let's see what happens. Let's see where the Royals land. Let's see how they're going to pay for the stadium. Let's see where the money is going to come from and what kind of offer they put the Chiefs. But if you are the Chiefs are moving to Kansas side, you have to feel very good that the mayor of Kansas City has come out and said we are having far more productive talks with the Royals than the Chiefs. It sounds like the Chiefs are going ISO and they're doing their own thing.
I think we've always kind of known that, though, Carrington. Like, from the minute the vote failed, resoundingly failed, the messaging out of the two teams has been consistent. The Royals have said, we're going to go back to the drawing board. We continue to want a downtown stadium. They have been honest about that since that first spring training where John Sherman sat down with Andy Rogers and said, yeah, I envision downtown baseball. The Chiefs, from the minute the vote has failed, have said two things consistently. One, they're breaking away from the Royals. They've been upfront about that. The second thing they have said over and over and over again is, we are going to look for the best deal. That is what they have said every single time. And I don't know, without a vote and without the larger group of Jackson County, if Kansas City, Missouri alone as an entity can offer them that best deal. So it's not surprising to me that the Royals are willing to work and maneuver and try to get a way to get a downtown stadium, which they have wanted for 3-4 years now, where the Chiefs continue to lie in wait and we'll take the best deal. And you mentioned, I'm a Chiefs are in Kansas one day person. I maintain the best deal, which is what Clark Hunt wants, is a cross state line in Wyandotte County, which I think one day, whether it be 2031, 2032, maybe 2026, I don't know the timeline. I think one day the Kansas City metro area is going to have the Chiefs in Wyandotte County and the Royals are going to be somewhere downtown. It's sounding now like Crown Center is that place.
You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, Chiefs training camp has ended. I ask a very simple question. What did we learn over the course of the last month as the Chiefs have been to St. Joe? I'll answer that question for you. We'll also take your text. I do not have access to the new text line, so we are still using the old one on this show. 913-576-7610. Eventually, we will have a new number to give you. Today is just not that day. So if you want to text in, you can do so. 913-586-7610. Training camp is over. What did we learn? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, Quentin, man. Can we have a conversation? Don't gotta take that long. Who told you to play Guitar Hero 2 soundtrack today? Who was that directive from? Was that a Rob directive?
Well, you know, I'm back in the studio. You're not, so, you know.
Oh, I got it. No, he looked at me and said, I'm the captain now. You know what, Rob? You know what? You know what, Quinn? You all right with me, man. Go ahead and keep playing. Now that's what I call Classic Rock Volume 2 today, man. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and let that slide, man. I appreciate you. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here with you. Rob Brenton is to my right. Quentin is on the ones and twos today. Very happy to have him as we are not in studio today. We will be back in studio tomorrow as the Royals get ready for a series against the Cincinnati Reds, two of the most exciting young players in baseball go head-to-head against each other. Ellie De La Cruz, who is a superstar. Bobby Witt Jr., you guys already know who he is. He is a superstar as well. Those two teams get going tomorrow. The Royals are still in control of the third wild card spot, and the Reds are looking to grab a playoff spot as well. It's going to be an exciting close to the baseball season, but let's talk a little bit of football. We talked enough stadium and politics and all that nonsense. Let's get to the sports. Training camp is over for your Kansas City Chiefs. It is done. It is over. They got a day off today. They'll get ready for their preseason game this weekend against the Lions. Patrick Mahomes was asked about the wide receiver room now that Hollywood Brown's going to be out for a couple of weeks. Here's what the quarterback said.
Obviously unfortunate. I guess we're lucky that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I know he's in good spirits. He's doing well. So just kind of getting him back going again, back moving around. Obviously we lose a little bit of that veteran type receiver in that room. I mean, we have other guys that can kind of replace a little bit, but to have that much talent, have a good understanding of what I want. But he's in the room. I think that's what's awesome. He's talking to those guys and everything like that. And so hopefully we're getting him back sooner rather than later. We just got to keep pushing those young guys to keep getting better and better every day.
I'm not worried about their wide receiver room. Now, I obviously think that Hollywood Brown is a plus for this team. I think he could help. I think it was a really smart contract by the Kansas City Chiefs to lock in Hollywood Brown. But I'm looking at their room. I'm looking at the improvements that they have also made in the room as well. And it is just hard for me to get all up in arms about not having Hollywood Brown for maybe the first three games of the season. He has never been a healthy player. Only one time in his five-year career has he played in all the games. We knew at some point that Hollywood Brown was going to face an injury or have a setback and not be able to play. I'm just happy that this happened early in the season, and hopefully this doesn't happen later in the season when the games get more important. You would love to win game one, game two. You play Baltimore, you play Cincinnati, you might need those games as tiebreakers. But, I mean, we have just seen the Chiefs. It doesn't matter how you start, it is how you finish. We have seen the Chiefs be a 500 team for the first 7-8 weeks of the season and then just get hot down the stretch. Or you've seen them get hot the way that they did last season and then be a 500 team for the final 2 months of the season and still win the Super Bowl. So it's just hard for me to get too up in arms about the first two regular season games that I think Hollywood Brown could potentially miss. I also think if you look at the depth chart, I just think they're going to be fine, at least for the early part of the season. You have to remember, around this time last year was when Travis Kelce had the knee injury and he didn't play in the first game of the season. You had a guy in MVS who looks like he's going to be out of a job, like RG3 coming up in a little bit. Sky Moore, who might not make this team. Kadarius Toney, who might not make this team. In just a calendar year, you had Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball to a lot of guys who were not NFL players. Heading into this year's week one, we know what the defense is. We thought the defense was going to be good last year. We know how good the defense is going to be this year heading into the season. Knock on wood, you got a healthy Rashee Rice, a healthy Xavier Worthy, a healthy Travis Kelce, Justin Watson. We'll see what else they have in the wide receiver room, and you feel good about the running back room heading into it. So obviously, you want to have Hollywood Brown here. You want to have your full complement of weapons. But we're talking about the National Football League. It's not a question of if guys are going to get hurt. It's a question of when guys are going to get hurt, and are you able to start peaking closer to the end of the season and start playing your best ball? So I am not too reactionary when it comes to this Hollywood Brown conversation. I still think their wide receiver room is in a good spot. It does not bother me that much right now where we sit heading into week one with the Chiefs wide receivers.
How much of that confidence is because you think Xavier Worthy's going to hit the ground running? Because I would say I'm a little more skeptical than you are, because you're right. The room on paper is obviously improved. Even with the loss of Hollywood Brown, you have Rashee Rice coming back after a 1,000-yard season. You have Justin Watson. You have an improved room. There is no doubt. And Hollywood Brown was probably going to miss time this year. That's what Hollywood Brown does best in the NFL. But you look at the schedule, arguably the most important games of the Chiefs' schedule are games 1 and 2. And they are not going to have their big money splash move offseason acquisition in that game. You are now relying on a rookie in games 1 and games 2 to go out and perform at the highest level for you. And while Rashee Rice was great last year, Rashee Rice didn't really get it going until mid-season, late in the season. He really came on strong. I remember you throughout the season were like, hey, it's time. Just feed Rashee Rice. That wasn't the case in week 1 and week 2. If Xavier Worthy is behind the learning curve, which isn't impossible to believe for a rookie, are you not somewhat concerned the wide receiver room is kind of early going while he figures it out? Similar feeling, and it's similar feeling when you're playing Baltimore and Cincinnati in back-to-back weeks, a team you saw in the AFC title game last year, and a team that you believe is one of the favorites to be in the AFC title game this year in the Cincinnati Bengals.
This is just where you and I disagree. I think it is impossible for a team that we think could play 20 or 21 games this year to believe that their most important games are in early September, especially when, and I understand your point, I think Baltimore is going to be a good team. I think Cincinnati is going to be a good team. You play a lot of the other teams that people think are going to be good later in the season. You play Buffalo in week 11. People think they're going to be good. Los Angeles, now they got a new head coach. They could possibly be a good team. You play them two separate times this year. Cleveland made the playoffs last year. You play them. Everybody's BFF team in Houston, you play them later in the season. So some of their important games are early in the season, but this year they're kind of sprinkled all out. You go on the road and you play San Francisco later in the year, which could be another Super Bowl preview. So I don't want to put too much emphasis on the first two games of the season. Let's say you just split those games. You're playing two good teams. I know they're home games, but let's say you go 1-1 in those two games. You're in a good spot. You got a tiebreaker against one of those other teams. We also expect, just given the division that those two teams are in, we think that those four teams are going to beat up on each other with Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati. All of those teams are going to beat up on each other. So in the NFL, it is always a race to see who can get to 12 or 13 games. You obviously can still find a pathway to get to 12 or 13 games to be that one seed. You don't have to win both of those games.
I agree with your path to 12 or 13. That's the path to the one seed. Like, I think the playoffs are a different conversation, and we have different conversations with the Chiefs. They are on a race to the one seed. But when your first two games are against teams that are on that same path as you, the Bengals and Ravens are not talking about just making the playoffs. Right now, if we, you know, tuned into our friend Tim Barbalace up in Baltimore, they are not having conversations about, boy, I hope this Raven team makes the postseason. They're talking about being the one seed again. Bengals fans, hey, Joe Burrow's back. Ja'Marr Chase, kind of, sort of back. He's holding in, but he's back. We feel like we're in a good spot. We're trying to get back to the one seed the same way we missed it a few years ago. Those are the conversations being had in Cincinnati and Baltimore, and if those three teams are all on the race to 12 or 13, I don't know that you can afford to lose a game, because even 1-1 in that scenario, that's not just losing one. That's losing 1.5, because now you lose a tiebreak scenario against one of those two teams.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not saying that you're wrong. I would be more fearful if I had seen the Chiefs lose last year. That was your opportunity to get Kansas City. They were 17th in points scored last year in the NFL. A team that has Patrick Mahomes as their starting quarterback scored the 17th most points in the NFL regular season. They went into Buffalo. Buffalo had been waiting for that game for 5 years to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. You had them on the ropes. You had Kansas City. This was the worst Kansas City Chiefs team we had seen in 6 years. They lost at home to that team. Baltimore, you had a healthy Lamar Jackson. You had just got Zay Flowers. You had all the pieces in the world at home. It was your first time hosting the AFC Championship game since you were the Baltimore Colts. Think about it. Ray Lewis never hosted the AFC Championship game. Ed Reed, Joe Flacco. It was their first time doing it. They lost. So I hear you about tiebreaker. It did not matter last year. I think this Chiefs team, even with the injury to Hollywood Brown in the first, let's say, 60 days of the season, they're a better team than they were last year on paper. Now, you got to go out there and prove it. You got to win these games. You obviously have to live up to the standard of what you've created over the course of the last 5 years. But it's just hard for me to get too caught up in tiebreakers when I saw you go on the road to your two biggest contenders last year and win both of those games.
And that's fair. I guess, back to my original point, though, I wonder how much of your confidence circles back to Xavier Worthy. Because Xavier Worthy is going to be behind the curve. Like, it's not impossible to believe. Those first two games become a little bit different because on paper, while the team is better, let's say Xavier Worthy is just okay in week 1 and 2. No Hollywood Brown. You have Travis Kelce healthy in week 1 this year, we presume, so that's better. But is a combination of rookie Xavier Worthy, Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, Rashee Rice really all that different looking? I do think it's better than the Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Rashee Rice group they rolled out last year. But I think if Xavier Worthy's behind the curve, the Hollywood Brown injury does highlight the fact that it's better in the wide receiver room, but without Xavier Worthy being up to snuff, which is possible, it's not light years better. And then those moments where it's, you know, kind of dicey really start to highlight themselves.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back to talking about Chiefs training camp. It has now concluded. The Chiefs get ready for their second preseason game. Andy Reid says that the starters are going to play the whole first half. Survey said that was a lie. Patrick Mahomes plays, what, two series?
I think if they're successful, yes. If one of the series is unsuccessful, if they have a three and out, I think he has a third series.
I think it's more likely he plays one than plays three.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, I think it's more likely he plays one series.
If they go,
they do this all the time. They tell us the same thing every single year. Mahomes is going to play the whole first quarter. No, Mahomes is going to throw two very safe screen passes. He's going to hand it off a couple of times, and you guys are going to get him on the bench as quickly as you can. We know how this is going to go. That's why it's just really hard for me to get really excited about preseason football. Mm-hmm. I get why you guys love it, right? Football is back. I don't know. I just like watching real sports. I'd rather watch real basketball than fake football. That just makes me unique on the text line. You guys will watch fake football over just about anything. You guys tell me how you can't get into Game of Thrones because it's not real. The results of this game on Saturday are not real. You don't have any problem getting into that, but I can't watch Rhaenyra. Let's see what the text line. They're not right, man. The same text line from 610, they've come over to 96.5 The Fan.
You know what's crazy about the 96.5 The Fan text line is that the same text line from 610 then on Monday got mad at me and you for opening the show with an injury to a starter on the Chiefs. Talk about real football. Talk about real baseball, not fake football. Is probably one of the 55,000 to 60,000 sickos that'll be at Arrowhead on Saturday watching fake football in the 100 degree heat.
Hold on,
that is nonsense.
Hold on, that's a little different. Going out there's a little different. I would go out there. I don't mind going out there.
You would send 100 degree weather to watch Hendon Hooker take on Carson Wentz.
Oh, you didn't tell me Hendon Hooker was playing. Of course I would. They didn't tell me I would get a little Hendon Hooker action. I'd definitely be out there. I'm not staying for four quarters, though. I'm staying for a half. I'm going to stay for that first half, and then, hey, let's go do something else. But, yeah, I would absolutely go out there. You got tickets or something? You let me know something? You got tickets? If you got tickets, I'll go. I'm not trying to go to the game. I'm not asking Ticket Fairy for Chiefs Lions preseason. No, I'm not doing that. No, I'm saving that request for something I really want to go to.
You're not going to burn that. Hey, I want that Black Friday game. No. I want Lions week two of the preseason.
No, I'm not doing that. Quentin, all right, I would like to just ask you a quick question, and we'll get back to very serious sports things. So this used to be a music station. You guys know that. I'm not telling you something you don't know. Now it's a sports talk station, 96.5 The Fan. I'm happy to be here. So, Quentin, I don't know if many people remember this because now we have thousands and thousands of new listeners. Last year when Rob was gone, we went through your Spotify and we played your five most popular songs. Well, your number one most listened to artist was ZZ Top, and your number two most listened to artist is Metallica, which would make great sense if you were Scott Parks. If you were a 56-year-old man, that would make a lot of sense to me. But no, you're 23 years old and you're riding around listening to ZZ Top. That can't be getting you a lot of play with the girlies. So this is what I want to know, Quentin. Let's say the young lady is coming over. She sees you and she's like, ooh, Quentin, I want you. And you're like, hey, all right then. And you guys are going back to the house and the mood is starting to set. And then she says to you, hey, big boy, why don't you turn some music on? And you're like, all right, I got you. You can't be playing ZZ Top when the girlies are around. You can't be playing Metallica. I want to know what you would play in this scenario. So you are out on a Saturday. I don't even know where you would be hanging out on a Saturday. You seem like a library kind of guy to me. Or maybe you go to the grocery store bar. You love a Market Grill at Hy-Vee. But let's say that one of the girlies comes up to you and says, Quentin, take me back to your place. So you guys start riding over there, and then she says to turn on some music to set the mood. What kind of music would you play to set the mood?
First of all, I never want to hear the phrase, hey, big boy, come out of your mouth again.
I'm telling you, that's what she was saying.
Well, I'm just saying,
hey,
I don't want to hear that come out of your mouth again. That, you know, we're on the FM station now. We can't get away with that anymore. You could say that on the AM station.
Oh,
people would be
that's
okay
the opposite
with that.
We have way more leeway on the FM side.
I got the ultimate trump card. You ready for this?
I can't wait to hear it.
Don't you just play Taylor Swift?
That's not bad. That's not a bad answer. I think he's pandering, but I don't think it's a bad answer.
Yeah,
it's 100% pandering.
Come on.
No,
come on.
In this scenario, is it pandering?
It's not
the
a real answer,
answer,
but it's a good answer.
Come on now.
The guy who can't name a single Taylor Swift song saying Taylor Swift
shake
is
it
fake.
Off? Come on.
Quentin, you know what I think is happening. If you invite the girly over and she tells you to set the mood and you start playing Taylor Swift, I think you guys are having a deep heart-to-heart conversation. That's what I think is about to happen. I think she's going to sit on the couch and she's going to tell you about a traumatic event that happened in her childhood. I think she's going to sit down and she's going to tell you about the ex that did her wrong. I actually think that's a mood killer for you. I don't think that's a set the mood kind of energy. I think you start playing All Too Well for the girlies, and I think you and her are eating ice cream, sharing stories with each other. That's not the kind of music I'm playing to set the mood. I get where you were trying to go. It was a great idea. I don't know if that accomplishes the mission here.
I think I'm sticking with that answer because you're right. I don't know if I play, you know, Salmon by Metallica, if that's the kind of mood setter either.
You're playing Dead Poets Society, and you're in the friend zone immediately. You gave yourself a first-class ticket to the friend zone by being like, listen, me and you, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22 or whatever the song is. This friend zone.
Man, if you play Inner Sandman when the girlies come over, you're a psychopath.
Don't you just – here's the smart speaker. You do you, man.
I'm just saying, you're a psychopath. If you got a nice girly come over and you start playing the Black Album, and not the Jay-Z one, you start playing the Black Album, something's wrong with you. She's leaving immediately. She has grabbed her purse, and she is out of there.
You're telling me cranking up Master of Puppets ain't getting anything going?
Quentin, you know what, man? I love you, man. You're one of my favorite people here at the station. All right, coming up on the other side, we will get back to very serious football things. I didn't even answer this question. I apologize. We got on the sidetrack talking about the Chiefs wide receiver. Training camp is over for the team. What did we learn from Chiefs training camp? I will answer the question. Keep it right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas. This is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.